Amen. Expect great things from a great God, because He is a great God, right? Amen. So today, if you want to put up my sermon notes there, I have a question I want to ask you guys. Do you see it there? Left of the lyrics. Here you go. Will you grow? Are you willing to grow? Instinctively, we want to say yes, right? You either grow or you rot. Or you're cut off. It's a good question for us to ask ourselves daily. Am I willing to grow? Now, this applies to many areas of our life, right? But today I want to focus on spiritual growth. Riku was already talking about when we know the meaning of Christ, who He is, it should reach into all corners of our life, causing us to grow in Jesus Christ, right? We'll get into that in a moment here, but before then, a reporter once asked Billy Graham, "Are you an optimist or a pessimist?" This is right before he was going on his first crusade in London. What do you think Billy answered? Without hesitation, he answered, I am an optimist. I know God and I have read the end of the Bible. And it assures me that we who are in Christ have victory. Amen? Yet so many of us as believers, we live lives as pessimistic people, discouraged and disappointed. And last time I preached on we should expect great things from our great God. How daily we should expect simple yet wonderful, powerful truths from Him. Anybody remember these? I focused on three. There are many, but I focused on three. Anybody? I always like to remind you guys what we talk about, right? It's a good thing. How daily we can expect the wonderful gift of His presence in our life, right? To be in a relationship with Him, with God, the Creator, the Author of life. How awesome that is. How daily we should expect the wonderful peace that only He gives, right? And what was the third one? Anybody? Is this jarring your memories? That we should expect the wonderful empowerment through His Holy Spirit. He did not leave us powerless, but gave us power, right? But if we're to expect great things from great God, it requires us to grow. Grow in our faith. Grow in our walk with Him. Are you willing to grow? We know that growing can be tough, right? It's hard and even painful at times. This week, I think it was Thursday morning, Naya woke up before school and she said, "Dad, my legs hurt." So, well, that's growing pains. You're growing. Right? Growing can be painful. But the reward of our growth in God far outweighs the troubles of growth itself. If you agree with that, put your hand up. Awesome. Glad I'm not the only one who thinks that way. Growing in our Christian faith requires us to expand our view of God, who He is, to understand how great He is. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 21 to 21 says, I have the scripture up there for you as well if you don't have your Bibles. "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." God is able to do far more than what we ask of Him. In fact, He's able to do far more than what we can even think. of Him to be able to do. We serve a great God. God's power is supreme over all others. God is not subject to the limitations of our universe or the material world. He's beyond all that. He created that. Throughout the Bible, we read about the amazing things that God does for His people, like parting the Red Sea for the Israelites to pass through, leading His people through the desert as a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, raining manna down from heaven to feed them. When I asked Lisa, my wife, this week, what was one of the amazing things that she thinks about when I ask, what's one wonderful, amazing things that God's done in the Bible? She says how time and time again, God doesn't turn His back on His people when they disobey Him. His forgiveness, how merciful He is. And He rescues them time and time again. You guys remember when the Sudolins were here? The powerful testimony that He gave, that He saw that little boy's legs grow from nothing with His very own eyes. He is holding the child's leg as they were forming. The power of God. You guys know Jyrki Hauka? Have you ever heard of the testimony that he's given where he witnessed a cripple whose limbs were twisted and like curled up? And the power of God were straightening them as he was walking by him, and he could hear the bones crunching as those limbs were forming, straightening out. The power of God, it's real. He's amazing. He's a living God. Do you understand that? He is a living God. I've just had the privilege of having power of God come on me just every day in a normal circumstance, exercising, lifting weight, and all of a sudden I just feel God's presence surge in me. He is a living God, and He gives us what we need every day. Are you willing to grow? I challenge you, expand your view of who God is. He is great. He is wonderful. All things are possible for Him. And He walks life with you. His Spirit dwells in you and lives in you. Be aware of it. I want to challenge you. Expand your view of God's greatness. We humans are creatures of habit, right? We tend to resist being stretched to grow. We like to get comfortable in our routines. We get up every morning and get out of the same old bed. We put on the same old clothes, well, hopefully clean ones, but, you know, the same ones that we have in our closets. We walk to the same old breakfast table, eat our same old breakfast, pack the same old lunch, put those kids to school, the same old kids, kiss the same old spouse, drive the same car to work, get off at the same time, drive down the same old street to our house, park the car in that same old parking spot, have the same old dinner, get in back in that same old bed and wake up and do it all over again, right? It's kind of depressing when we put it that way, right? But if that's all you think there is to life, you're not living. God is exciting. Two hunters hired a pilot to fly them out, the bush pilot to fly them out into, you know, the wilderness, and they were going on a big elk hunt. The pilot came back as arranged to pick them up, and the hunters were quite successful. They had bagged six big bull elk. They started loading their gear into the plane, including the six elk, but the pilot objected and he said, "The plane can only take four of your elk. You will have to leave two behind." They argued with him, saying, "Well, the year before we had shot six elk, and the pilot allowed us to put all those elk into the plane. And this is the same plane, with the same model, same capacity. Reluctantly, the pilot finally permitted them to put all six of the elk on board. But when they attempted to take off and leave the valley, the little plane could not make it, and they crashed into the wilderness. Climbing out of the wreckage, one hunter said to the other, "Do you know where we are?" The other hunter replied, "I think so," he replied. "This is just about the same place where we crashed last year." See, someone once said that doing the same old thing over and over again, expecting different results, is what? Insanity. We all know that saying. If you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. And this translates into our spiritual life as well. We can become spiritually soft when we fall into routines and our lives no longer bear the same kind of fruit for God's purposes. It's like we can switch our spiritual life, our relationship with God, into autopilot. I don't know about you guys, but if I switch my relationship with my wife on autopilot, things won't go that well. In Isaiah 54, the people of Israel were experiencing spiritual barrenness, and the people were thirsty for God to do something in their life. They were seeking for God to move. Have you ever felt like that? Like you're kind of in this spiritual desert, and you're thirsting for God? You desire for God to move in your life, to give you purpose and meaning for the day. And Isaiah is writing about the people in Israel who are craving for meaning in their life. And Isaiah writes in chapter 54 that a day is coming when God will do something incredible. You see, one of the keys to Christian living is to go when God asks you to go, but also to be waiting patiently when He tells you to wait. But it's up to us to make room for God in our lives. Isaiah 54, 2-3 says, "Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispose nations and settle in their desolate cities." Have you made enough room in your life for God? Or have you made the space in your life for God smaller? I want to challenge you this morning to expand your capacity for God in your life. I believe God is ready to do bigger things. He wants to do bigger things in your life and in your ministry work. You must enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your tent curtains wide. Go to the next place where God wants you to go. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you have spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispose nations and settle in their desolate cities. In this text, the question that God is asking is, will you grow? Are you willing to give me room in your life? God wants to do a bigger work in your life, in my life. He has a purpose. And I believe the same is true for our church. He wants to do a greater work in us and among us here. But for that to take place, we must enlarge our capacity for God in our lives and in our church. One of God's purposes for creating us was for us to know Him in an intimate relationship. Another purpose, reason God created us, was to make Himself known through us. We need to make room in our lives for that growth. 1 Chronicles 4:10 says, "Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain.' And God granted what he asked." Jabez prayed and asked God to bless him and expand his territory. At first, this may sound like a selfish prayer, but God granted Jabez's prayer. But he would not have done so if it would have been purely for selfish motives. You see, Jabez wanted to be used by God in a greater capacity. Jabez's prayer was not self-centered, but rather it was centered on allowing God to expand his area of influence in his life. It's not wrong to ask God to bless you. In fact, we should pray that God would bless us. God wants to increase your capacity for his purposes, and in so doing, bless us along the way in many ways. You have probably heard many times, God will bless us in order for us to be a blessing for others, right? The measure of your life is not what and how much you consume, but what you allow God to birth through you. Jesus says it's a greater blessing to give than it is to what? Receive. And Jesus modeled this principle to us through his own life here on earth. And Jesus gave in the ultimate way by giving his life on the cross so that we may have eternal life through him. This principle of giving is woven in the fabric of creation itself. Salmon spend the last days of their life battling upstream to spawn their young. They have this intuitive sense that they must birth new life before leaving this life behind. We as humans have the same sense to birth new life as well. And we spend a significant portion of our life raising our young. We live to give. And this principle should be seen in our spiritual life as well. Do you give your life to God? Will you grow? See, God calls each and every one of us to a new life in him. A new life. That's exciting. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Praise the Lord. When we become followers of Jesus Christ, we're made new. And God begins a new work in our lives. And this new work is not of our own ability, or is not of our ability, but rather about our expandability. Think about it. God does his work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's called sanctification process, technical theological term, right? And we need to allow ourselves to be like soft clay in his hands, like elastic vessels that are able to change and grow and expand. Got a question for you guys. Water bottle, balloon, which is bigger? The water bottle, like physically bigger, right? Okay, well, which one can hold more? The balloon, right? Why is that? That's right. The water bottle is hard and rigid, right? It can't expand. It can't go beyond this boundary. But a balloon, it's soft and able to stretch and grow, right? You see, it's not about your size, but rather your state. Are you hard and rigid? Are you soft, moldable, and expandable in God's hands? Are you willing to grow with what God wants to do in your life? It's like what Jesus teaches in Luke chapter 5, verses 37 and 38. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. See, in those days, wine was stored in wineskins. And old wineskins would dry out, they'd harden, they'd become brittle after the wine would ferment in them, right? And if you know anything about making wine, when wine ferments, it gives off gas, right? So if you put the new wine into old wineskins that are brittle, they would burst. But the new wineskins were soft, able to expand. And they wouldn't be bursting and the wine be wasted. So the new work that God wants to do in our lives requires us to be new creations in Jesus Christ. We're to be made new clean vessels that God's Holy Spirit can dwell in. It requires us to commit ourselves to our Lord and the new life that He's called us to in Him. So this morning I want to challenge you to expand your commitment to Jesus. Stretch your commitment to God. I believe God wants us to grow as a church, not just physically in numbers, but in our commitment to Him. He wants to be able to do more in us and through us in this community. Last Sunday, Samuel spoke on being and how we're all ambassadors of Jesus Christ, right? You guys remember that? And think how serious it is that we're ambassadors of Christ. We've been entrusted with the truth of the gospel message that has the power to save people. And we've been entrusted with this message to tell others about Jesus Christ. And this requires a commitment on our part, right? It requires spiritual growth in our lives, to walk with God, to grow in our faith. It requires us to make room in our lives for God. See, God wants to see His eternal kingdom expand and grow through us and among us. He wants us to go into this world, in this city, into this community, into our workplaces, our schools, to our neighbors, to tell them about the wonderful news of Jesus Christ. All of us here this morning, we treasure Christ. He's the most important thing to us, right? Are you committed to telling others about Jesus so that they can find that treasure as well? Growing and stretching requires some pain on our part, both as a church and personally as well. Now, I don't expect all of us to, or all of you to start, going to every prayer meeting and every small group and every, joining into every ministry. But at the same time, I think it's healthy for us to take a moment to look at our kind of spiritual commitment that you currently have in the church and for God. Are you serving in the capacity God wants you to be? Are you making enough room in your personal life to spend with God? Are you allowing yourself to be molded, stretched and changed by the Holy Spirit's work in you? Surveys show that out of people who attend and worship at church, a third of them are involved in service. We're a small church, and it amazes me how much we accomplish in a year. All the ministries, all the events, it's amazing. And I want to just encourage you guys, do not tire of doing good in the name of Jesus Christ. Do not tire of preaching the gospel to people. Do not tire of being testimonies or giving your testimony to others and speaking about the wonders of God. But at the same time, I'm excited because I know that God wants to do more among us. I invite you to take up this challenge along with me to expand your view of God, of how great He is. Expand your capacity of God in your life. And expand your commitment to God in growth, in service, and just your relationship with Him. We serve a wonderful, mighty God who's a great God, a living God. Let's expect great things from Him in our daily lives. Let's pray for Him to bless us, but be ready to be used by Him. We're instruments of God, created for His glory, to tell others about Jesus Christ, to make Him famous, not ourselves, but Christ. Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to grow? Let's stand up and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You are the living God. Thank You that at this moment You are here amongst us. Thank You that Your Spirit dwells in us. Holy Spirit, thank You that You are with us daily. And Lord, we thank You that You are working in us, that You are changing us, transforming us, stretching us. And Lord, it doesn't always feel good, but still we know that it is worth it to grow in You, to grow in our relationship with You, Jesus Christ. You are our Savior, our Lord, our King. Our hope is in You. Eternal life is in You. Lord, we thank You that daily You meet our needs. And Lord, we just pray that You would bless us. Bless every single one of us, Lord. Not for selfish reasons, but so that we can glorify Your name, so that we can be a blessing unto others. So that You could expand the capacity that You could use us in our lives, Lord, for Your glory. Lord, we search our hearts before You. You see our lives open like a book before You. You see our struggles, our battles, the temptations we face daily, Lord. Give us strength, Lord, to overcome temptation. Give us strength, Lord, to battle through our struggles. And Lord, we desire to humble ourselves, to soften our hearts, to be molded by the potter's hands. Use us, Lord. Grow us, Lord. Stretch us. Lord, give us the strength to commit to Your work, Your calling in our lives. And Lord, we're excited to see what You are going to do amongst us, Lord, here in this church and through this church. And Lord, we give You glory and thanks for wonderful things that You have already done. Because You have done many great things amongst our little church here, Lord. We thank You so much for Your faithfulness throughout the years. You are a mighty God. Mighty God. A great God. And a living God. Hallelujah. And together we bless each other in Your name, Jesus. Amen.
You know, Zach is going to lead us one more song at least. And when Zach is singing and as we are joining the song, let's have a time of reflection, what we have heard today, and let the whole sanctuary be an altar where you can come to with your thoughts to Lord. And when I was in prayer over there, I'm not sure, but I somehow felt that there might be a person or persons who are somehow questioning or asking questions about the whole thing, service, questioning about your involvement. And I just feel that Jesus is saying that, trust in me, let me bless you and give you rest, let me empower you again, let me to give you a service that is fitting. Sometimes we feel that if we would like to indeed enlarge our tents, but sometimes there might be a feeling that we would like to make our tents smaller so that we can handle it. But at the same time, we had to remember it is the Savior who handles everything. And we just let Him. We just let Him. Thank you, Jesus. Exactly, that's the final song.